All right. So we're in Joshua chapter 24, is what we're turning to, and we're starting in verse 14, reading down to verse 22. We're going to talk about this principle of influence. So we're in Joshua chapter 24. I'll begin reading in 14, and you follow along, and I'll read all the way down to verse 22. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered him, said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that, now watch this, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, we're really, the launch, if you want, if you where we're going to launch from is in verse 15, where it says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And then again in verse 22, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord. So when we think about people, think about mankind, when we use the word man, we mean mankind. We don't mean just the male of the species. We mean mankind in general. So when God created man with a free will. Now that does not lessen God's sovereignty or who he is, because he gave us the free will. Some people say that if you believe in free will, then you're lessening who God is, somehow that we have some power over God. Well, that's not what it means. It means that God gave us the power to make choices, or the authority to make choices. In fact, outside of man, that's probably not true of anything. I mean, animals can choose, you know, go left or right, but not in the big scheme of things about planning life and thinking about life and making and trying to, you know, work things together. In the big scheme of things, only man has this free will, and God gave it to us. Now, that free will that the Lord gave us allows us to make choices, and especially choices concerning how we're going to follow and who we are going to follow, even up to the Lord. The Lord allows us to make these choices. That's why he says, that's why Joshua says there in verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. So if I were to ask you a question this evening, could they have chosen not to serve God? Yes, they could have said, yeah, we're out of here. And so they had the opportunity to make that choice. God gave them that free will. So as a leader, we have to remember, whatever we're leading, whether we're leading our family, we're leading a ministry, we're people at work, whatever group that we have some leadership influence in or responsibility in. As a leader, we have to remember that followers, now watch this, ultimately choose to follow. Now, even if you're at work, that is still true. If you've been at work, you know that some people, you know, they may get the paycheck there, but they still, you know, they choose to do the least they can do to get that paycheck. So there's always this choosing that goes on. So followers ultimately choose to follow us as leaders. That means that leadership comes down to how well we can influence a follower to follow us. That's really what leadership comes down to. And so we could say this, when it all boils down, leadership is influence. That's what it is. You can't dictate leadership. If you have to tell people, if you constantly have to tell people you're in charge, I can guarantee you one thing, you are not in charge. Because if you have to constantly remind them, I'm the boss, do what I say, you may have the title of boss, but you're really not the boss. Because that's why you keep having to, you're basically running after them, saying, please follow me. And it doesn't work that way. So leadership, when it all boils down, is influence, probably more than any other thing that describes leadership. Now, with that said, within whatever group that you lead, there now watch this. What I'm teaching to you tonight probably was a critical thing for me to learn. I learned some of it in college a little bit, but most of it I learned the hard way. Some of it at my time in secular jobs like Long John Silver's, thank you, and then in other things in the ministry that followed. So when you're thinking about this group that you lead, whatever secular, spiritual, whatever this group you're leading, there will be different levels of influence you're going to have within the people of the group. And not only that, there will be different reasons for the influence that you have. So you have different levels of influence and different reasons for the influence and those people that you're leading. Typically, you will not have the same influence with everyone who is a follower. And the influence you have with a specific follower can change over time, either good or for bad. You may have a greater influence at one time and then less influence later on, and vice versa. And so you have different levels of influence within whatever group that is, and that level of influence can change on a positive and a negative. So if we're going to be a wise leader, what that requires us to do is to identify, when I'm looking at a follower, what level of influence do I have with this follower? And how can I grow that influence? Because that's really how I grow my leadership, by growing influence. I don't mean this in a selfish, goose-stepping type of, leadership. What can I do to control people? Okay, I don't mean that in that way. I'm just meaning I have a responsibility to lead people, and I can't lead them if I don't have influence. So how can I, therefore, develop influence? If I were to apply it to my particular life, yours would be a little different, but my particular life, I pastor people. But the truth is, no matter what I preach and what I say, people make decisions about how they're going to live. And I can't stand up here and say, you listen to me, I'm the pastor, you do what I say. Because, that gets old real fast, probably in like about 30 seconds. And it doesn't work that way. So I have to say, what kind of influence do I have, and how do I develop influence so that when I am conveying God's word to people, they're receptive to it, and it's helping them grow in their Christian life. And so it comes down to this word of influence. Now, I'm going to go over with you five different levels. I'm not saying these are only five. These are probably the big five, I guess. And you could divide them up a little differently, and you could take some of these levels and divide them up or put some together. You could come up with three. You could probably come up with 20, depending on how you wanted to do that. But I'm going to give you what I think are the five big levels of influence. So whatever I'm leading people, and I'm looking at this because my job is pastoring. So I'm looking at it in that role. It's not only a spiritual endeavor. It's in some ways, I got to be careful how I say this, in some ways it's a secular endeavor in that that's how I earn my living. And so my job is to lead people in a church setting. And so all of these five apply probably more so on a Sunday morning than on a Wednesday night because of the variety of the crowd that's on a Sunday morning. But all these levels are involved in it, and so I have to understand when I'm dealing with people, I have different levels of influence, and I have to identify that and understand that, or else I, as a leader, can become discouraged, or I can be overbearing with a follower in a way because I don't really have that influence and I'm pushing more than I should be pushing. So let me give you those five. Maybe you can identify some of this in situations that you're involved in. So let's start with number one. There is the influence of the leader's position. Now here's the problem. That's what most people hold on to, and that is the least amount of influence you have with someone. A title. There's influence of the leader's position. Some followers will only follow you because they have accepted that your position gives you the right to lead. Now, that sounds better than what I probably want it to sound. They're following you because of your position. That's the only reason they're following you, and they really don't want to follow you, but they have to follow you because you have the position. So it's almost like, okay, fine. Now, it does not mean that they agree with you. It does not mean that they like you. But it does mean that you are the leader by position, and they are willing to follow that position because either a paycheck's involved or something's involved. And they said, fine, you're the guy in charge, we'll do what you say. Now, understand this. This is the lowest level of influence. It can easily be lost. So if I were to embarrass myself and tell you that when I first became a manager at Long John's, to me, this is the only level of influence there was. I'm the boss now, and you got to do what I say. You know what I learned in the very first week? They did not have to do what I said. Because really, what they don't say this, but you learn real quickly, what happens if they don't do what I say? I can't fire them all. Because my boss is going to come in and say, how come the place is shut down? They're all gone. Why they're all gone? I fired him. You know what the next words he's going to say to me? You're fired. Okay. So I realize I need them, but I can't really tell them that because they may take advantage of that. And so you got to be very careful. It's not like, I'm the boss, you do what I say, because it doesn't work that way. And once you lose that influence, and then you have nothing with them, and then you're in trouble. So it's the lowest level of influence. You can easily be lost. So based on what I just said, you probably can see why this next statement would be made. Weak leaders who rely on this type of influence are surprised when it does not produce the results they wanted. This seems to be applied to a Sunday school class. If you think the kids are going to listen to you just because you're the teacher, I'm the teacher, you listen to me, that doesn't always work that way. Because once they realize, but nothing happens if I don't listen, and then bad things start happening. Weak leaders rely only on this influence, and when it doesn't produce the result, they're like surprised, like, well, it's not working. Well, that's because there's other ways to influence. And what happens is this. If this is the only influence you have over someone, it turns the leader-follower relationship into one of struggle, backbiting, and lack of initiative. It just becomes a slug. It's just like, ugh, just so hard. And what you find out, they will do what you say, but they'll do no more than what you say, and they'll barely do what you say, and they'll complain the whole time they're doing what you say. And it just becomes not a good environment. Now, as a leader, you have to understand that you are going to have some followers at this level. Hopefully, the fewer the better, but you're going to have some followers. It's true in this church. Knowing this about those followers helps you lead them without becoming frustrated with them. So let me give you a statement. I've given you a statement before. It's not new generally, but for some of you, it'll be a new statement. Hopefully, the first part won't be. I am the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. If that surprises you, okay, maybe you didn't know that. I am the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Therefore, so that's what you've been doing. I've had questions about that. So I'm the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Everyone who's a member of Grace Baptist Church, I am their pastor, correct? Why? Because I'm the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. If you're a member of Grace Baptist Church, I am your pastor. Now watch the next statement. I do not pastor all the members of Grace Baptist Church. There's a big difference between being their pastor and pastoring them. I'm their pastor by virtue of that's my position as pastor of Grace Baptist Church. And I don't mean this to be unkind. I'm not trying to be unkind to anyone. But there are people who are members of Grace Baptist Church who are living their life how they want to live their life. I'm not saying they're doing bad things. They may be doing good things. But they're living how they want to live based on what they think how they should live. And it really doesn't matter what I say or do. Because I don't pastor them. We just kind of walk the same path together, but they're doing what they want to do regardless of what I say. And sometimes it's not always, and when I say bad things, I don't mean they're drinking or drugs or something. They just, okay, if we are doing something as a church body, my job as pastor is trying to get everyone involved, like a big soul winning day, whatever it may be, missions, whatever it is, it's trying to get everyone involved. But there are some people who are like, no, I'm not going to do that because they're doing their own thing. I don't dislike them, but I understand I don't pastor them. Because if I pastored you and I said, this is a big thing for our church, we all need to get involved, you say, well, then that's what we're going to do. But some people are like, yeah, not so much. Now, again, I'm not trying to be unkind to them. I'm not trying to, I don't think I've ever said anything unkind to anyone who's done that. But I just understand when that happens, I don't really pastor them. I have a position of pastor, but I don't pastor them. because if I pastored them, I would have probably a whole lot more influence, and they would be a part of what's happening. I understand you don't have to be part of every single thing because there's a lot of things going on, but generally speaking, you should be going along with the direction and flow of the church because that's what our church is doing, and as a pastor, I'm trying to lead people in that general direction. Now, I understand that, and so I have to understand that for some people who make up Grace Baptist Church, they're not going to fuss with me, they're not going to fight with me, they accept I'm the pastor of the church, but they don't accept me pastoring them. I have to understand that. So there is the influence of the leader's position. Then there's a second influence, and that is this. There is influence of the leader's accomplishments. Now, the next two or three could be in various order. Probably the last one is the number one was the least, and probably the last one is the most. The ones in the middle could kind of vary. It just depends on the person, I guess. So I don't want you to think that these are increasing, because they're not necessarily increasing that way. Not always. There's influence of the leader's accomplishments. Now, here's what I mean by that. Individuals who find someone accomplishing what they want to accomplish will begin to follow that individual in hopes of also seeing those accomplishments in their own lives. In other words, a follower finds someone who's doing what they want to do, so they begin following that person as their leader because of that leader's accomplishments. And the hope is that they can accomplish that as well. And it can be in the church setting, in a ministry setting, could be in a business setting, could be in some type of life setting. So it can be in a lot of different ways that would hold true. Now, this level of influence can have greater sway over a follower because now there's more of a buy-in. They're motivated by their own desire for success, so they're going to follow that particular leader more so. Now, that in itself is not a negative, okay, because I'm going to show you that maybe how it could be negative. That's not necessarily bad. When I went off to Bible college, I asked my pastor, I said, I didn't know nothing about any Bible college or Bible anything, about Bible school or anything like that. And he said, well, you're going to the ministry, you ought to go to Bible college. I said, okay, you know of any, which pastors do, but I didn't know of any. I said, he said, well, I know of a few. He said, I think you ought to go to House Anderson. I said, okay, I'm going to go to House Anderson. Now, I went there, and I watched the leaders, and I saw some things they were accomplishing, and I wanted to accomplish those things in my own Christian life, and so I was following certain people because they were accomplishing things that I wanted to accomplish. So it's not a negative, but you got to be careful because it can become a negative. So this level of influence has a greater sway because you're motivated by your own desire, but that can become a problem because it can produce a selfishness that you're only following if I get what I want. And that can be a negative type of following. So you got to be careful. You make it all about you, and that's not good either. Now, think about this. These types of followers are typically very good workers. But if they never get beyond this level of influence, that becomes a negative. Okay, they're typically good workers because they're trying to accomplish something, but they must be more fully developed. They can't be left at that level. Or else pragmatism will make them selfish and self-centered. There's more to a leader than what the leader is accomplishing. And if all you see is what the leader is accomplishing, then you're missing. So we're talking about a leader influencing followers, whether it's your kids or grandkids or family or ministry or people at work, whatever dynamic you're involved in. So you have that position, and it can influence it. I'm the boss, you listen to what I say, but it's very low, and you got to be careful. If that's all you rely on, you're going to be disappointed very quickly. And then if you as a leader is accomplishing some things, you're going to find people coming along wanting to be a part of what's happening because they want to accomplish it as well, and that's good, and you can influence them, and that's good, but you don't want to leave them there. And that becomes number three. And I think number three is the next step after number two. I would generally think so. Number three is this, that there is the influence of the leader's relationships. And this is what gets you beyond just the accomplishment part of it. Over time, a follower develops a relationship with the leader that becomes a motivation for the fellowship. They spend some time together. They begin you know, whether it's a deeper friendship, a co-worker type of relationship. There could be different aspects of the relationship. But they begin developing a relationship. It's not just, I'm doing this, and I want to do that too, so I'm going to follow you. But then they start developing a relationship. Now, what's important is this. This relationship helps the follower to better understand the reason behind what the leader does and why certain decisions are made, which really now begins developing that follower. It's not just the accomplishment, but it's the motive behind the accomplishment. It's the reason of things happening. You begin seeing a bigger picture. So hopefully in a leader-follower relationship, there's been opportunities to build trust, to share ideas, communicate openly with each other. And really, in a leader-follower situation, there has to be time the leader and follower spends together. If you have a boss that you never see, you never talk to, and you have no relationship with, that boss probably has very little influence. But there's someone somewhere underneath him probably that has that influence. And I don't mean this as a criticism at all, but it's just the reality of it. When I was at Bible college, Brother Hiles was the pastor. He pastored, I don't know, however big the church was, 20,000, whatever it was. It wasn't unusual for him to have 10,000 on Sunday. It was a huge church. Let me just tell you this. When you have 20,000 members as a pastor, you do not have a relationship with all the members of the church. It's just it doesn't happen. And so what he had staff, and then he had college staff, he had church staff. But there was someone there that you had that relationship with. Probably for us, it was Brother Moore. That's probably our, if you will, I'll put in air quotes, our pastor relationship that we had with him. So he had a great influence on us. But you got to have someone like that who you spend time with, you talk with, you can ask questions of, you can enter into some type of communication that allows you to understand not just what's happening, but the motive behind what's happening and really what really you're trying to accomplish. And so this type of influence now begins really building that leader-follower relationship, or that when you build that leader-follower relationship, it really works on this influence that you have with the follower. That's a better way of saying it, so I don't confuse you. Now, this level of influence creates an environment that is typically that's enjoyable and mutually satisfying to both leader and follower. This is when you enjoy being a part of the group. Now, as a leader, okay, let me speak to you as a leader. Even though it is greatly desired, this level can only be accomplished by consistent leadership through challenges and difficulties. So if you're going to build a relationship with your followers, you've got to be consistent. You can't be one day all nice and jokey and oh yeah, I love everyone, and the next day you come in a bad mood and you're yelling and screaming at people and you're back and forth and up and down. You're not going to build a very good relationship with your followers. So you have to be consistent. And when things are hard, you just can't go giving up because things are hard or flying off the handle because of things. You have to be a consistent leader if you're going to build relationships in this way we're talking about with your followers that begins influencing them and so you can lead them appropriately. So that's the level of this. This is the influence of relationship. I'll give you two more. Number four is this. There is the influence of a leader's teachings. Now, my guess is, now five is kind of the culmination. So, but my guess is of the four that we're talking about, this is probably the least considered, but maybe one of the most important. And I'm not sure why, but I think we just tend to say, well, they'll figure it out. Well, you may want to, even think about your kids, okay? Well, yeah, they'll figure it out for themselves. Or we can sit down and try to explain to them and teach them things. So there's the influence of the leader's teachings. Now, watch this. It's not just what the leader teaches, but the follower's response to those teachings and his subsequent growth because of them that gives this leader influence in the follower's life. This is probably true in different areas, but I'll tell you this, in a ministry setting, and I'm sure especially because, again, this is my life. That's how I apply things based on, you know, the way I'm ministry and pastoring and all that. But I tell you, in a pastoral setting, this is probably the most important thing you can do in a follower's life, is try to influence them by teaching them. Not just teaching them, like, do what I say, but teaching them why we do things and the purpose behind it and the motivation behind it. And if you will, and I'll kind of use this again in air quotes, the philosophy behind it. I'm always careful about that word. People use it in ways I don't think is appropriate. But the philosophy behind it, the thinking behind it. So it's not just what he's teaching, but then as the follower begins responding to those teachings and the follower begins growing, you find now that you have this really a major influence in this follower's life. Now watch this. And it really, if you think about discipleship, this is what we're kind of thinking about. In essence, it is the leader reproducing himself and his followers through teaching them what it means to be a leader. The best way to help a follower is to teach him how to be a leader. That's one of the best ways you can help him. Now, he may never be the leader he needs to be or you want him to be, but the more he grows into it, the better follower he's going to be. And we began this whole series with everyone's a follower, everyone's a leader. I'm following someone and I'm leading people. Every one of us is doing it. So the better leader I can become, the better follower I become. And the better follower I become, really the better leader I become. And so as a leader, I'm trying to teach my followers how to be better leaders. And the more I reproduce myself in my followers, then the more influence I can help, I can have and help them grow and be what the Lord have them to be. So this is reproducing. So the greatest way for the leader to influence a follower is to reproduce himself in that follower. Now, what kind of influence will be dependent on what kind of leader he is. Obviously, if he's a bad leader, if he's, again, back to the goose-stepping, that kind of stuff, if that's the kind of leader you are, you may, because that guy found some followers, did he not? And so you may have those type of followers, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being the right leader, producing the right followers. So what kind of influence will be dependent on what kind of leader you are. So as a leader, we should have high and lofty motives in our desire to influence our followers. And let me give you the last one. Number five is this. There is the influence of the leader's life. Now we said a follower follows by choice. So someone has a position over him, they're going to choose to follow him. But they're not going to follow very well. That's not going to be much of a choice they're going to make. If that leader is accomplishing some things that this follower wants to accomplish, they're going to now make a bigger choice. If this follower has a relationship with the leader, now they're going to even have a deeper choice. If this leader now has taught this follower some things and this follower now has responded to those teachings, now it's a bigger choice. More influence is happening. But probably the greatest influence is the influence of the leader's life itself. This influence comes not just from the leader's title or his accomplishment or even his relationships, but it comes from a lifetime of character that inspires others to follow. Let me just say this, and this is off the cuff, it's not even in my notes, but I'll tell you this, I think, especially when you're younger, and I think it's true all through your life, but especially when you're younger, you ought to look to older men as leaders, not someone in your same generational age. When I was younger, I wanted older men. I always looked to the older men. Even now, I still look to those. Of course, now that I'm a little bit older, the crowd who's older than me has gotten a little bit smaller. But I still look to that. I still look to, okay, if I'm looking for someone to lead me, and what I'm going to say, some people don't like, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to look for someone who's 25 years of age. I don't care what kind of YouTube videos they can produce. I don't care what kind of social media presence they have. I'm 57. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but I don't know if you're 25. If you're 25, I apologize. Let me just say this. Yeah, not really. But you don't have a life experience, and you don't have a life testimony that I'm looking to follow. One of the reasons, like, we'll have Ron Royalty speaking at our couples banquet. This is his third time, maybe fourth time. I forget exactly. One of the reasons is because this guy is mid-70s, late-70s. He has this long history of living for the Lord. That's who I'm looking to. I'm looking for someone who's down the road further than me, who has some life that I can look at and say, I see consistent. They're not perfection. There's no leader other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no leader who's perfect. But I'm looking for consistency and character, and I can see a trend here that I can follow. So the influence of a leader's life can have a great influence on now followers. So it comes from this lifetime of character that inspires others to follow. That means this, that this is by far then the hardest influence to achieve, because you've got to have some life. You can't have, you know, when I was 30 years of age, I couldn't claim being in the ministry 40 years. It just, the numbers don't add up. And so it takes time, but really this is a great payoff in leadership when you're consistent over a period of time. And I would tell you, that means I would tell you this then. Then the goal of every leader, this should be the goal of every leader, a life that influences others to follow. Not a life of perfection. Not that you got always got it right, but you can say, in every situation, I can point to, and I was trying to do the right thing, and I was consistent in my character, and I was consistent in my focus. Didn't always get it right. And sometimes I got sideways about things. But there's a consistency there that a life can speak to. And that is probably the greatest influence that you can have, and obviously then the hardest, because it takes the time to accomplish. All right. Let me give you the final statements, and then we'll stop and pray and then go into our business meeting. Every group of followers a leader has will be impacted by some combination of these above influences. And it may not be the influence you want to have. You may want to have a relationship with them, and they're like, I can take it or leave it. I really don't care about you. And all you're ever going to have is that position over them. And that's it. They're not going to go any further than that. Okay, I have to understand that. But typically, there's different impact, different levels of influence that impacts your relationship with your followers. So every group of followers a leader has will be impacted by some combination of the above influences. Now, a wise leader will seek long-term development in these areas while showing patience in the short term. Let me give you an example. And again, this may be more on a Sunday morning example than a Wednesday night. But someone comes in, okay, now I am 57. I've been preaching since 1982 and been in full-time ministry since 1990. So if you run those numbers, 1990, this is 2021, that's 31, going on 32 years if my math is correct. So I'm going 32 years in the ministry. Now, if someone comes in for the very first time on a Sunday morning, all they know is that hour that they're going to listen to me. Or not listen to me. It depends on what they do, I guess, in that hour. Now, I understand that. And I can't expect someone who walks in for the very first time who meets me, I can't say to them, hey, I've been pastoring 32 years. I know what I'm doing. You follow me. Okay, it's not going to work that way. They may make a choice, hopefully, to come back a second time or a third time. Maybe they'll come back multiple times. But hopefully over the time period, eventually then that ability to influence them grows. But it's not going to start right away. And I have to understand, they're not going to respond the same way. Someone who comes in right away may be really hesitant about what's going on. Someone else who's been in our church a dozen years or so, who's accustomed to things, who I have a relationship with them, they've been under my influence over these years, they're going to respond completely different. They're going to be like, okay, let's go, gung-ho, while someone else is like, kind of dragging their feet. Okay, I have to understand that different leaders respond differently, and I have different influence over them. And I can't get mad or get upset because everyone doesn't respond the same way. So I have to understand, it's going to take long-term development. And while that long-term development is happening, I have to show patience in the short term with them. Why? Because in essence, leadership is influence. And that's all I got with them. And that influence only occurs through a lot of hard work by the leader. And that's really what the leadership boils down to. A lot of hard work trying to engender that type of influence in different ways. Because God has given people the right to choose. All right, well, let's pray. And we'll be done with our Bible study. Father, I pray now that you would bless